All right, welcome to the show. It's the Michael Slate Show, and really glad to be here today. A whole lot to talk about.
When I was 9 years old, I closed it when I was 18. I gave them every penny that I had saved, and they gave my blood and my urine a number. And now I'm sitting in this waiting room, playing with the toys. And I am here to exercise my freedom of choice. I passed their handheld signs, I went through their picket lines. They gathered when they saw me coming, they shouted when they saw me cross. I said, why don't you go home, just leave me alone. I'm just another woman lost. You are like fish in the water who don't know that they are wet. As far as I can tell, the world isn't perfect yet.
All right, welcome back. That was Ani DeFranco with Lost Woman Song. And I'm really pleased to welcome back to the show, although my voice keeps going up and squeaking every now and then, I'm really pleased to welcome back to the show Sansara Taylor. Sansara is a writer for Revolution and initiator of StopPatriarchy.org, and she's on the road with the Abortion Rights Freedom Ride. We spoke with her last week. This is the leading edge of a counteroffensive to the war on women. We spoke with her last week, and she's going to be giving us an update and getting into all the critical questions that she's confronting and give us... Let us know how this is going on. Sansara, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah. Well, all right. Where are you? Where have you been and where are you?
Where are you? I'm in Fargo, North Dakota. Me and a slew of abortion rights freedom riders. We're up here in Fargo. We're in North Dakota because yesterday was August 1st, and there was four different laws that were scheduled to go into effect that would restrict abortion rights and abortion access in North Dakota. There's only one abortion clinic in the entire state, and for our crew that came from the West Coast, they drove the entire state. It takes about 7 hours. It's a huge state. There's one clinic in the state, and it was scheduled to be closed yesterday if these laws were not stayed by the courts, which they were, at least two of them. But I'd like to talk some about the specific laws and what they mean, but the fact that they were passed at all and the fact that they are still on the books, this is just totally unacceptable and outrageous. It's part of the concentration point of the state of emergency facing women's rights and abortion rights in particular all across this country. So that's what brings us to Fargo.
Okay. You know, Fargo is a lot less scary to me than cornfields, okay, which is where you were last week, and I was very upset about that. Anyway.
We were on the road last week somewhere in Ohio.
Right, exactly. Well, let's get into the specific laws because this is, you know, we've spoken about this before on the show, the massive offensive that's going up against the abortion rights in this country right now. And North Dakota has emerged as actually being on the sort of the spear point of a lot of this. Let's talk about the specific laws that you were mentioning.
Yeah, so there are five states in this country that only have one abortion clinic or abortion facility in the state, and North Dakota is one of them. And, you know, there's laws and attacks in each local area, but it's important to understand, and it's happening all across this country, but it's important to understand these are local flashpoints in a national battle, and that the anti-abortion movement has very much calculated which states they think are at the furthest, and they've really targeted these states with only one clinic. So here in North Dakota, they passed four different laws this past year. One of them would have banned abortion after fetal heartbeat can be detected with a vaginal ultrasound. So that would have banned abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, which is well before most women even find out that they're pregnant, much long before a lot of women can get access, even if they do know they're pregnant, to an abortion facility. That law was an injunction was granted against that, a temporary injunction, last week. This week there was a hearing on Wednesday, actually, about the law that was the one that was in danger of closing. closing the only clinic, which is a law that would have required hospital admitting privileges to doctors who provide abortions. In North Dakota, all the doctors fly in from out of state. This is very common in places with one clinic. A lot of the places, it's very dangerous for abortion providers to live anywhere, but especially in places like this. And so they fly in from out of state. There's very few doctors who are willing to take all of that on that burden on them. So they fly in from out of state, and they would not be granted admitting privileges to hospitals. First of all, it's medically unnecessary. It's a bogus, made-up law just designed to close down this clinic. It's the same law that was passed in Texas that would close down many clinics there. But here in North Dakota, there's three hospitals nearby. One is Catholic and would not allow abortions or admitting privileges. One is for veterans, and federal laws prohibit any association with abortion. And the third one is a hospital that its rules of operation require that before it grants admitting privileges to you as a doctor, you have to have admitted 5 patients in the last 12 months. Abortion is too safe. Abortion is just too safe. Doctors, it's such a routine, safe procedure. In the 15 years that the Red River Women's Clinic here in Fargo has been open, they've only ever had one patient who's had to go to the hospital for a complication.
Wow.
So there's just no way that any doctor would get that privilege. And so it would have shut down the clinic. Now, there was a stay on that order as there was an injunction temporarily granted. So the clinic stayed open. They saw patients yesterday. We were there. It was very important. But I think... If you forgive me to go on just a little bit further about the legalities of this, because I think there's a lot that needs to be understood about this, is that in the broader, most people don't even know this in North Dakota. Most people have no idea. But among those who are paying attention and the coverage that's been, there's been some national coverage and some national following, there is a sense right now among abortion rights supporters that this was a great victory. And, of course, it is a victory that the clinic is still open. It matters tremendously to the patients yesterday and to the women in the state going forward. But yesterday another law went into effect that is moving the bar even further along restricting women's access to abortion. It went into effect yesterday, which is a 20-week ban, which makes it illegal for women to get an abortion after 20 weeks. Allegedly, this is because of fetal pain. It's totally scientifically disputed. There's no basis to assert that fetuses feel pain at 20 weeks. And besides the fact that that's actually not the criteria, it's irrelevant. Fetuses are not human beings. They're part of a woman's body. They're a subordinate part of a woman's body. And just because something causes pain does not make it illegal. Childbirth is one of the most painful things there is. I don't hear these people outlawing childbirth because it causes pain to the woman. Not that we would want to outlaw that, but it's an absurd standard. So that went into effect, which will restrict abortion rights for women in North Dakota, and it's on the books, and it will have implications nationally. It's setting precedent. And the other thing is that even when the judge stayed the law around hospital admitting privileges, the state argued that they want to do discovery. They want to dig into the whole record of all the doctors who practice abortion in North Dakota. Not just their records at the clinic here, but their records at their clinics in Minneapolis and South Dakota. These doctors who fly and travel to different places, they want to dig into their whole medical history because the state claims that this is of relevance to the safety of women in North Dakota, which is a lie. But it's a fishing expedition and it's a witch hunt against these doctors. They want to dig in and do discovery on the one patient who was sent to the emergency room and open up her case and dig in and make that public knowledge what happened to her. All of this is part of tarnishing the image and the ability to practice and the safety of these doctors and of the clinic. And it's within this ruling, which was a favorable ruling that kept the clinic open, there is an allowing of for the state to continue to persecute these doctors and the heroes who put their lives on the line every day to provide women with this service. And we've seen this play out around the country. It breaks on an assault, but it is not stopping or reversing this whole trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind listeners.
Which is why we're doing the abortion rights freedom ride. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Let me remind listeners that you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution and one of the initiators of StopPatriarchy.org. And she's currently on the road with the abortion rights freedom ride, the leading edge of a counteroffensive to the war on women that's occurring all over this country. Sansara, along the lines of what you've just been talking about, you know, I read some things on your Tumblr, on your blog, on the site, on the StopPatriarchy.org site. You know, it's very impressive what I've seen about the chord that you're striking among a lot of people. And I'd like you to tell people a little bit about the response you're getting as you take this out, because a lot of people will look at this and say, are you out of your mind? Abortion is so controversial. What the hell are you doing here? You guys are really taking your life in your hands going out with this. What's the response you've been getting? What have you been tapping into?
Well, I think, you know, everywhere we've been, we've connected with a number of things. One is that there's a tremendous reservoir of people who are outraged by the assault on women's right to abortion. And we've been telling the truth. We say forced motherhood is female enslavement, and that's what this anti-woman, anti-abortion program is about. It's never been about babies. And we're bringing this message out. Women should have abortion on demand and without apology. And there's sort of three big things we've encountered. One is that there are people who are so heartened by that, and they've felt silenced. They've been put on the defensive. They've been told they can't use the word abortion. They've been told that they have to compromise. And we've been gathering up those voices. We've been documenting them, blogging them, sharing them, and trying to amplify them, because it really matters that those of us who understand this is not the time to mince words or hold our tongues. Women's lives, you said we take our lives into our hands, and we have on this freedom ride, but women's lives across the country and actually around the world are at stake, and it's time for people to speak uncompromisingly. But I think the other thing that's even deeper, and then we've had people who oppose us, and sometime it would be interesting to talk about that, but what I really want to speak about is those who are, they say, I agree with you, but you can't say that, abortion on demand without apology. You'll alienate people. I agree with you that these rights are really at stake, but, you know, we have to tone it down. We have to seek common ground. You know, people who've found it challenging what we're saying, and that, you know, who are on our side. And I think that there's a moment here where we've been struggling with people. One thing we've been asking them, and I've told people repeatedly, it's time for us to stop compromising. The anti-abortion movement has never, they've changed tactics, they've changed how they're going at things, but they've never said, oh, you know what, you're right, maybe we should have more birth control. Okay, you're right, maybe we should, you know, provide for better sex education. They've pushed abstinence only. They've pushed anti-birth control. They've never conciliated on their core message that women's duty is to bring to term every pregnancy, and that, frankly, sex should always be about procreation in the context of a marriage. And you seek common ground with that, you never, ever appease these people. You just disorient and demobilize people who ought to be supporting this right, so that there's so much stigma on abortion, so much defensiveness among abortion rights supporters. And this is one of the things that we are having a fierce struggle with people over. We have to tell the truth uncompromisingly, and we have to get out ourselves and rely on ourselves and struggle. The courts may slow some of these attacks, but they are conciliating with these attacks. The courts are shifting on this. The politicians, there might be some politicians who challenged some things. Wendy Davis did something which was, frankly, pretty heroic. But that law was passed. That law was passed in Texas, you know, that would close down 37 out of 42 clinics. These rights are being taken away, and there's not a politician or a court order that's going to stop this. We have to tell the truth. We have to get out there and struggle through mass protest, mass political resistance, mass truth-telling, and uncompromisingly. And it's on us, and we have to not just protest in hopes that it pressures politics, but protest because we want all of society to stand up and say women are human beings, and we are going to fight and defeat this war on women. And the whole culture behind it and all the state power behind it, there has to be resistance to this. And that is going to take, that's why we call ourselves a freedom ride, because women's enslavement is what's at stake, and because it takes us relying on ourselves, and people have to step out, and they should join with us. Through this Saturday, we're having a protest downtown Fargo. We'll be in Wichita, Kansas, on August 10th. We're having a protest there. People should caravan and join us. That's where Dr. George Tiller was assassinated. We'll be down in Jackson, Mississippi, where there's one clinic left in the state. On August 17th, we're having a major rally there. and people should caravan into Jackson to join us there. I believe we're going to add on stops on our way back to New York and back to San Francisco. On our return trips, we'll probably be stopping in North Carolina because there are laws there that would close 4 out of the 5 clinics that do abortions in North Carolina. And people need to join with this physically, join us in those places, or virtually, be a virtual Freedom Rider. Connect with us through stoppatriarchy.org. Go to stoppatriarchy.tumblr.com and connect with the Movement for Revolution to actually dig into where all this is coming from and build up the strength to put an end to all of it, and follow what we're doing on this ride too through revcom.us. That's the website of Revolution Newspaper. It's revcom.us. So I really want to give a call to everybody listening. If anything I've said has struck a chord with you, or even if it seems extreme to you, come to these websites, get further engaged, because really the future of women, I just tell one story. We met this woman in North Dakota, who volunteers at the clinic here, and she's 70 years old, and she told us, you know, people talk about when abortion is illegal, it still goes on, and women die, and we've heard many stories like that, of friends who died when it was illegal. Since we've been on the road, people have shared with us. But this woman told a story which I think captures, you know, more of the full scope.
You've only got 30 seconds, Sansar.
All women. Okay. She said when she was 17 years old in 1960, she got pregnant. And she looked at her possibilities. In 1960, it wasn't just that she could risk her life to terminate it. She didn't know about abortion. She was either going to have the child and give it up for adoption or get married in a relationship she never should have had. And that's what happened to her. It's what happened to millions of people. And she shared this with us, so that's why she volunteers at this clinic. The future for all women is at stake right now. So everybody here has a stake in this Freedom Ride. You should get connected and be part of strengthening and spreading this movement.
All right, Sansar Taylor, thank you very much, and we'll have you back again next week. And I'm looking forward to, we're going to have you on for an hour towards the end of the Freedom Ride to talk about some of the bigger questions and everything you've been going through. So let's keep this going and keep it up. And I'll be riding with you virtually, okay? There you go.
Great. Thank you,
Michael. All right. Take care now. All right. You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host and producer, Michael Slate. We've just been talking with Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution and initiator of StopPatriarchy.org, and she's on the road with the Abortion Rights Freedom March, and we're going to be following her each and every week until it comes to an end. I want to let people know real quick on...